We're going to be talking about this strong identity. Now, you've seen this graphic before, a little more colorful than this one, but you've seen this graphic before, but it's because it's something we've worked out as a church a lot as far as understanding when we come to Christ, we've been given this a different identity. And we break that down into different ways. And to this particular time, we're talking a section of these identities we talked about. We're going to talk about the roles that we have been given in Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus, you've experienced his forgiveness. You've experienced being right, made right with him. You've experienced being a child of him. And all those sort of things we talk about in the primary parts of our identity. You also have changed your attitude, the way you think and all that. But you also are at a spot where you've also changed your role, right? You have a different role than you did before, and that's what we're going to be focusing on. We're going to talk about, after this, we're going to have a 4-5-week series, and we're going to talk in a little broader thing about purpose and roles today, and then we're going to go for each particular role in this identity series and cover that God has given us. And so, for me, I think that this is, if you don't understand that God has truly a plan for your life, with including the way you live and who you are, if you don't know that, you can know that today. You can choose to receive that today by simply going, say, I want that, God. It's just accepting it and saying, yes, I want that. And we'd love for you to do that. Many of us here know Jesus. We've experienced him, and we know him. But even among the followers of Jesus, we find even in the letters to all the churches that Paul would say, wait a second, you started the right way in this place of identity, but now you're going back to the law. You're starting to live according to rules and regulations. This is not what this is about. God wants us to live out of our identity, who he's made us to be. He wants to keep revealing to deeper, deeper levels who we are, and out of that flows what we do, right? Now, so we don't live by a set of rules, you know. Look at this, the question, you know, And I encourage you, as you go through this, let God, in this series, let God have a conversation with him. Let him start talking to you about asking this question, God, do I know my true purpose for living on this earth? Do I know my true role that I'm supposed to be living by? I want to know that. Just be praying that and have a conversation with God. Let him talk to you about that. And this whole thing about yielding your life to Jesus, committing your life, giving your life all the way over to Jesus, we hear that a lot, right? I remember growing up, and you can't argue with that, right? Sure, you should do that. But if we have the wrong idea of what that means, it can really affect us in the ability to really trust God and yield our whole life to his plan, right? I don't know if you guys have ever heard sermons on you're the conduit of God, right? He flows through you, you know? You're kind of this pipe, and he flows through you, right? So at least that's when I heard that. I think I know what a conduit is. I'm a pipe, right? And so, it's like, it's this pipe that's not alive, and God flows through you. And then the other sermons I used to hear was, God is the frequency, and we are the AM radio. And as I said, for you people who don't want AM radios, it's that thing on your car radio you never use. It's that AM, and AM radio, especially old ones, old people like me, and Robert, no, it's just these. And I had to pick on somebody. You know, we had to tune it in. You had to get it in, you know. It was hard to get it tuned in, right? And that was God. And we're this. So as a kid growing up hearing these sermons, I'm thinking, okay, giving my life to God means becoming a tube or an AM radio. And I'm telling you, I don't want to be either a tube or AM radio. And that is not the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus is that we actually, when we fully submit ourselves to him, he shows us who we truly are. We don't just channel him. We join him. He becomes our father. He becomes our bride. We actually experience him. He has given us his spirit within us, right? We no longer live by our flesh, but we live by faith in Jesus. We live in Christ, and it's a real deal, and it's not just us being a tube or tuning it in. It's a relationship in which things flow out of. That's a whole different way of saying, if I give my life all the way over to Jesus, he joins me, and this identity takes place that he will give me. Now, as we talk about this identity, you know, in Corinthians it talks about when we come to Jesus, we're a brand new creation. The old's passed away, the new has come. That is such a big statement, right? And so when we talk about this place of identity, we have to understand that it's hard to describe what that means to be a new creation, right? It's like if you said, okay, I'm going to describe David, right? And you had to come up, and you can only do it in one word, right? I would guess you'd probably start with something like handsome, right? You know, and you'd say, well, and you have to use two words, very handsome. You know, so you'd say, okay, I got to figure out how to accurately describe David, you know. But you realize that you just get locked in, right? No, you have to do a lot more than that, right? You have to understand what it means, you know, who I am. You have to describe how I think about things, right? How I perceive things. What I, you know, you have to talk about, I'm the son of so-and-so. I are describing things about me, my primary functions, who I am, right? And then you have to all say, but you all say things like, oh, yeah, and he's a father. He's a grandfather. He's a brother. And so, right, you have these roles. But we have to have those roles to help us understand, oh, he's a pastor. That's a role, right? So roles are what we're going to be focusing in on, but I want to kind of put it in the context of all this idea that we've been talking about before. There's a highest purpose that we start with before we even get into the identity. When Jesus, and I know we say this all the time, but this is a scripture that never should get old. It should be always a returning point. When Jesus says, how do you fulfill what God is asking you to do? He says, you do it this way. You love God with everything you have, and you love one another as yourself. Right? That's it. So you start there. Your new identity, your base of your new identity is, now what I'm made to be is to do this. This is my role. I'm going to love God, and I'm going to love others. So that's the big picture. We're starting with that. But as we describe it further, you know, here's what we have to understand, is when we try to fulfill this promise of loving people, you have to realize living out our highest calling and purpose will not come from following a moral code or going by a set of principles or rules. You will not accomplish the Great Commission. You will not accomplish what summarize all that God is looking for by moral code or by determination. It will only come through embracing who we are truly in Christ. If you forget everything else, remember that. This series is saying, we are a new creation in Christ, and out of that, it flows the way we have a primary standing, it flows this whole thing of our attitude, and it flows into our function. So in this place of primary standing, you know, I think it was in the May of 2018 we went through this, and you can listen to it online, I'd encourage it. We talked about what it means to have a primary standing as God's child, and to be a worshiper, and to be a citizen, a bride. This is the basis. This is who you are. You know, this is what has happened in Christ. And then we look back to this place of servant, of attitude, that when we come into Christ, it changes not only our primary standing, it actually changes the way we think. And we now no longer live to be served, but we serve. We no longer are owners of things. We're actually stewards of things. We're no longer, just people who follow and lead ourselves like we're told to do. We're now followers. We're made to be led. We're always in this process of being a student, of learning from God from here on out and knowing his truth so we have greater and greater degrees of freedom. Now, your primary standing is who you are, okay? I am a child of God. I am the bride of Christ, right? You know, I'm a worshiper. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. That's my standing, right? Your attitude is, how do you think? How do you see life, the lens that you look through in this place of, I serve, you know, I don't own, right? I follow. This is the way I perceive life. I live life that way, right? It's how you perceive. It's how you respond. And so what we're going to be talking about is this place of role. Part of who you are is your role. We all have different roles, whole different ones. Right now I have an interesting role. I'm a cook. This will not last long, but right now, really, I'm not a cook. I'm usually a warmer up of the food you bring us, all right? for Debbie, who's had an operation. So I was like, okay. But we all have different roles, right? Okay? And so part of who we are is our role. So even if, in a natural sense, if you start thinking about this place of roles, you know, what are examples? There's lots of different roles you have. Do you know that? You have lots of different roles right now. And so, I mean, you know, what are your roles? Let's just do that. What are some of the roles that you guys have? Let's throw a few out. Mother, husband, wife, kid, uncle, son. We've got family stuff, right? Those are all roles. What else? Friend, employee. Yeah, nurse. Teacher, your profession, whatever that is, right? So we have roles. And in those roles, if you start looking at it, there's actually roles, and then there's actually roles in those roles, right? And so as we look at this, is that we have to understand that we have lots of roles, but there are roles that are universal in the kingdom and that we all have. It may look uniquely different because we're unique parts. That's part of our role, is to be unique into what God has designed us to be, but we actually all have particular roles. It's part of who we're defined by. And understanding that helps us know what God has made us into. Now, this place of roles, roles are this place of this in the kingdom of being in Christ. What you're designed to do. This is what you're made to do. Okay? You know, and by the way, you know, this is what your role on earth is. And this is a good question that I want you to keep asking yourself through this whole series is, do you really grasp your role on earth? It's significant. We're going to talk about that. It's huge. Do you really get a hold of why he has you here? Why you're living on this earth? What is your primary role in this earth? And we're going to be covering some of those. And so as we look at those things, some of the roles we have on earth is this place, and we're talking about all those roles we talked about, right? We also have these roles, and we'll cover this place of what it means to be a priest. And these are all, and all, this whole identity chart is based off all the scripture of Jesus saying, okay, you said all things have become new, you're a new creation, now I'm going to explain that to you, and I want to help you understand that by talking about attitude and talking about primary standing and talking about roles. This is who you are now in Christ, right? Just describing this new creation that God has made. And so this place, we're going to be talking about specifics of, Jesus says we're a priesthood of believers. He says that we're part of the body of Christ, that we have a unique key part to play, and we're not to do it alone, we're to do it together. We're called to be soldiers. We have the power over darkness and evil and authority over sin. How does that look if that's our role? We are called to be light, to bring the light and truth of God, to reveal who God is and where we go. So we have a lot to cover in these next 4 weeks, but in the broadest sense, all that place of God's roles for us as far as loving God and loving others using these particular functions in that role, really it gets down to a spot where, as what do we do with our other roles? Are they unimportant? Right? No. You know, God-given primary roles define and influence all your other roles. All right? You can be the president of a company. You can be the president of the United States. You can be Congress. You can be a world leader. You can be an amazing athlete. You can be an artist or whatever. And those are roles, you know? You know, I don't know about you. I thought about the roles I had before I met Christ, like my purpose on earth. What was my motivating drive on earth? And quite honestly, I really mean this. It was sad when I read it, because I got honest, right? That's always sad when you get honest sometimes. Before I met Jesus, I remember my role was to be accepted. My role was to try to impress enough to certain people. I'd get impressed also. I picked a few, especially girls, and it was helpful. And, you know, my role was to get high. Honestly, to bring relief. I really just had lots of things I lived for. That was my purpose, to get to work so I could have money, so I could have things. And I thought, oh, man, I wish I had something more inspiring, you know? Some of you have more inspiring roles than that. And some of you have, like, when you're growing up, you, like, inspired to get straight A's. I never did that, right? I was inspired to get out of school. And so some of you inspired to become this amazing person who went to college for the first time in their family history, or you wanted to be an artist or a songwriter. And those are roles you play, right? They're gifting their roles. They're important, right? Some of you sound you want to have a family, and some, you know, and so all those things are really good roles, right? I mean, getting high is not, but the other ones are pretty good, right? So the thing about this thing of roles is that all your other roles are informed by that. See, in the kingdom, order is tremendously important. If you notice that about when Jesus talks about himself and God and idols and seek first the kingdom of God and loving God above all else, it's all about order. Because you can have really good things in the wrong order and they become really bad things. And so understanding that we hear the verses and we know the verses of seek first the kingdom of God, then all these things are added to you. Love God above all else, and then everything follows, right? And that's true with our identity. Live out who you are and in your true identity, and then those other roles will actually be influenced by those. So the reality is that your role may be a citizen of the United States and a CEO of a company, but that is a very secondary role. And if it becomes the primary role, you are now in a bad spot and your life doesn't start working. You may be a great artist, but if that becomes your primary role, or a songwriter, or anything you want to add in there, if those things become primary to what God and your identity in Christ is, that role ends up becoming something that was maybe really good. It could even be a place of, I'm a father. What an amazing role that is. If my role as father starts becoming above my role as child of God, and in identity, it's going to mess up my kids, right? There's order in the kingdom, right? So as we talk about this, understanding that you have been given amazing role by God in the kingdom. Now, a couple things here. This is a story that I love because it shows the importance of this role we have, and it shows some people who said, yes, I will embrace God's plan, his identity, and my roles for my life, and the other group said, no, I won't. Now, the context of this is John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus. John the Baptist was waving the flag and saying, hey, the Messiah is coming, prepare your hearts for the kingdom. He was getting people's hearts prepared for the kingdom. He was causing them to turn away from the sin. And he was kind of a wild character out eating locusts and honey and preaching and repentance and turn from God and the wrath of God. He was kind of a wild guy out there. People were coming around. He had this tremendous authority, right? And so John the Baptist now, it's moving miles towards Jesus. He's prepared the way. He's now imprisoned. And you have to understand, Jesus looked a lot different than John the Baptist. You know, Jesus was hanging around partying with sinners, it looked like, around right in the world. And John the Baptist was isolated, speaking of the truth and justice of God and repentance. And so you have to understand, he knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He pointed him out and said, the man of God. But he's like, wow, this is not what I expected. This guy is so hanging out with people. And so he's in jail thinking, I can't get back. I didn't endorse the wrong person. So he sends his disciples out and says, could you just check this out? Just ask him, you are the Messiah, aren't you? Right? That's really it. So he sends his disciples out, and then his disciples come, and there's all these people getting healed, delivered from demons right at that very moment, right? And these disciples come up and they get his attention as all this is going around. And they say, are you really the Messiah? I'm just checking for John. We just want to make sure you get that final endorsement. And he goes, well, the dead are being raised. The demons are being cast out. People are being healed. People are receiving the good news. Go tell them that. You know, it's basically say, the proof's in the pudding here. The kingdom has come. This kingdom is here, right? So now he has this opportunity. They go back, and now he has this opportunity. They're thinking about John the Baptist. Now you have to realize, John the Baptist is someone they really respect. I mean, this guy he's like, whoa, this guy's amazing. He has all this authority. He speaks out. He has this kind of, you know, greatness about him. And here's what Jesus says. Now imagine this being his disciples and hearing this when he talks about John the Baptist. He says, I tell you, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than he is. Now, you have to understand, that would be a take-back statement. You know, he's not diminishing John the Baptist's greatness. He's basically saying, under this rule of the kingdom, we have been, when we're given God to dwell with innocent spirit, we have things that John the Baptist is telling it is coming, but he has not received yet, and you get to receive it, all right? And he says, when they heard this, all the people, even the tax collectors, agreed that God's way was right, for they had been baptized by John. So they realized, you're telling me, they had this respect for John, they said, and so they already had yielded to this place of understanding, turning from their sin and receiving salvation, this place of John the Baptist when he turned and received and prepared their hearts. And now they're saying, do you want this kingdom that your heart's prepared for? They've been baptized. They said, sure, I'm in. But the Pharisees and the experts of the religious law rejected God's plan for them, for they had refused John's baptism. So these religious leaders, two groups here, this huge crowd coming at them, even tax collectors, these wild characters coming saying, I'm in. If you say I can be greater than John the Baptist, I'm in. And these religious people saying, no, I will not. I'm not going to be baptized by John the Baptist, and I'm not going to believe your kingdom stuff about this. I'm not going to take the invitation. And if you look at it in context, it's basically, I'm not going to say that God's plan for me is right. I know my own plan, and I'm going to do what I want. And so in this place, Jesus is perplexed, and he says, what can we compare this group of people to? And he uses this interesting visual of a scene in a marketplace. He says, what can I compare the people of generation, compare the people of this generation? Jesus asked, how can I describe them? And here's what he says. They're like children playing a game in the public square. They complain to their friends, we played the wedding songs, and you didn't dance. We played the funeral songs, and you did not weep. And he goes on to say, for John the Baptist didn't spend his time eating bread and drinking wine, which he did. And you say he's possessed by a demon. The Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend to of tax collectors and other sinners. And he closes off this tremendously powerful statement. But wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. So this, there's so much in here. But here we have these, first off, it starts out with this group of people who hear this message and say, you're saying I can have greatness in a good way, like John, I'm in. I want this. And then we see this other group saying, no, I don't want this. And then he goes on and he talks this crazy scene that he talks about. Because in the scene that he's talking about, he's really describing the heart and the attitude of these Pharisees, right? And the Pharisees, I always say, are easy to put the bad guy hat on. But the Pharisees, when you listen, you can spot your heart sometimes on how they respond and how we have to watch that as well. And what these Pharisees did is they were compared to whiny children, right? And as you look at that, this scene is really, have you guys had whiny children? Any of you guys? Have you had this thing where you say, do you want to do this? No. Do you like, I thought you loved this cake. No, I don't want that cake. I mean, it's like, no, I thought you want, no, I don't, no. The answer is like, I'm not going to submit to your plan. I'm not going to do this thing. And you know, and you can try to cheer them up, and they're not satisfied. The idea is, I'm not satisfied. But they're stuck. And they're just whining at each other, living in dissatisfaction, knowing that they're smarter, right? But missing it because of that. Not engaging, not responding, choosing to think they're wise and not responding, right? Missing it. Here's this crowd. You see this imagery he has? There's this crowd of people who said, John the Baptist, yes. Jesus, yes. And then he's saying, they're all flooding in. The people you would never expect, the people who are looked at with no esteem and the people who are not significant were coming in saying, I want this. And then you have this other contrast of the people who have all this knowledge saying, no. and they're just like kids in the courtyard. No, John the Baptist, you know, he's crazy, you know, and he's possessed by a demon. No, Jesus, oh, he's a drunkard, you know, just saying no. Now, as we look at this, it's really important to understand. You know, this could be used in a lot of different ways, but really this is, when you think about why they flooded is because they said, do you want to have this role like John the Baptist? Do you want a role that significant? You know, you want to have that greatness? And that's what they said, I'm in, right? And so as we go through this, I think it helps a lot to understand a couple things. First off, understand, and this is the truth, this role was offered to everyone, right? Everyone. This is not for a few people. If you, anybody here, you know, it doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter your past, it means nothing. Because tax collectors, everybody, it's available to anyone. If you're religious, non-religious, if you have a horrible past or you have a fine past, it doesn't matter. It's for everyone. And right now, if you've never understood that in a way that was real, today, you can literally just start that relationship and say, I'm in. You can say just what the people who said yes, like, I believe God's way is right and I want that for my life, right? It's that easy. They just agreed with it. That's all you have to do. And you're in, right? And so, we look at this as it's offered to everyone. I'm always amazed at that. I think about how, I know I use this a lot with my brother, but the reason I use it so much is because it had such an impact on me. When my brother said to me when he's leading me to Jesus, David, Jesus lives in me, he can live in you too. I thought, son of a gun, he can live in my brother? He's a jerk. And this gives me great hope, right? In other words, the invitation is for everybody, even my brother who treats me like dirt. No, he doesn't, but he did. And how does this happen, right? Because it's open to everyone. It's amazing. The other thing about this is that it's an offer of a role that's tremendously significant. I mean, I don't know what to do with this verse, actually. But I know that it's basically, like you say, it's saying, if you want to, and right now is, how many in this room want to be great? Raise your hand. See how hard that is to do? You all actually want to be great, but you want to raise your hand because you want to look humble and great. But the reality is, everybody wants to be great. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be great. Now, in a sense, you can think of that in the wrong terms if you're defining it wrong. But I could put this, how many in this room want significance? Yes, right? You're made that. That's God-given in you. The reason you want significance is because God wants you to have significance. So much so, he does this thing with Jesus so we can have the significance and having the kingdom and have these abilities to have roles that literally change the world for us interacting and partnering with God. I mean, this is significance. This is a role way beyond any role you have. I mean, this is huge. So it's a pretty big offer. But then there's this thing that gets in the way, right? What we see in the Pharisees. Pride, our pride gets in the way. What keeps us from accepting the significance God has is our own pride, right? Now, we like to think of pride in other people, and we think sometimes in pride in really kind of rash statements. And it's interesting because we might think of like pride as people are saying, I'm so amazing, and they brag on themselves, and they hate God, and you know they think of these extreme ways, right? But when it describes pride here, the scene actually describes a pride that I think is much more normal. A pride in which that you're feeling quite in control because you're going to have the plan for your life that you want to have, and I'm going to have it. Now, my life's not going well, you know. I'm having really problems in my life, but I am determined that that won't work. That won't work. You know, and when it gets down to the spot of God saying, I have a plan for you. And so here's the imagery they have here. There's a whole crowd of people saying yes, humbling themselves and saying, yes, I submit my whole life to you, God. I need you. And I trust you. And I say your way is right. Remember, that's what they said. Your way is right. I agree with that. Right? Pride is saying, yeah. You know? But we're just like those kids. We're stuck in places in which that we're complaining about life. Life is this and that is that and nothing. But we have no answers. But we still believe that we have it figured out. Do you guys ever get there yourself? Where you're just like, you just become apathetic. When I become apathetic and I start complaining about things and I feel cornered, I know it's pride at some root there. Because I'm choosing my own plan. I'm going to figure it out, right? And so we have to understand that God is still offering this place of saying, embrace your full identity in Christ. Be and do the things I've asked you to do. Trust me, this will be good. This is who you're made to be. It's not going to bring bondage. It's going to bring freedom. Now, see, what we have to understand, too, is what we do, our roles, are crucial to who we are. Do you ever think about Jesus when he calls people to himself and he says, come, follow me, so you can be forgiven and right with God? No, he didn't say that. He could have said that. That's absolutely true. It's part of his message. That was the message of the gospel. But he said, come follow me, what? I'll make you fishers of men. You want to do something significant? Come follow me. You want to impact people's lives? You know, come on, I'll show you how to impact people's lives. This is what you're made to do. And I want to show you how to do it. And they said, I'm in. You want to be the great? You want to have a role bigger than John the Baptist? I'm in. You know, I want that, right? I want that significance because I want to have my life count for something. I want to live my life for a purpose. I mean, when he closes his last statements, it's not, you know, anything but outward. Like, go out. I will give you the power to make disciples of all nations. Now go. Go exercise your role on this earth. See, I think sometimes with us, I think it's kind of difficult because in our church, we have a tendency of often talking about identity, which I love. We always do that because we believe that's, but we often talk about a lot in standing. Because that's crucial. It's foundational, right? But it's also important to understand attitude, but we often think of role as a result of the other two. You know what I mean by that? If I get my identity in Christ and know where I stand with Christ and I get my attitude right, then I'll start loving people. I'll start ministering like a priest. I will start having power. I'll have that power. Like, it's a flow from that. But that's not always true, you know? In fact, Jesus is the way he handled things, the way he taught people. He made them move out in role, and they learned to be a child of God and dependent on him. They learned to be shepherd. They learned to, you know, when he just put them out there, right? You know, he just sent them out. He let them try things. They begin learning to exercise. You have kids sometimes that they're bike riders. They're made to ride a bike. You can have charts. You will ride a bike. There's lots of kids who've ridden a bike. I can prove you'll ride a bike. This is very true. Look at there. Here's the science on this. If you roll fast, it stays up straight. Here's what you do. Here's what a bike is. Look at the bike. Understand you roll the bike. You can do all that. It's important to get all that down. But if you want to ride a bike, you got to ride a bike. You learn how to ride a bike by living out who you're called to be, a bike rider, right? You know, it's that spot where you have to realize that your role will take you. It's not something we just do, it's who we are. And as you start operating and saying, I'm not the light of the world, yes, you are. Try it. It works every time. I can't pray for someone and see God minister and be a priest. Yeah, you can. How do you know? Try it. You'll start learning how to do it. And you'll start learning, this is what I'm made to do, right? So, in all that, understand that these parts are all connected together, right? It's not just, okay, I get the primary, I get the attitude, and I start doing the roles. Doing the roles will take you to the way you think and see. Doing the roles will take you, help you understand that you're truly a citizen of God with that authority, and that God will be with you in that as a father, all those sort of things. So understand it's always those mixtures of things. But I want to encourage you as a church, I think I've done a pretty kind of I've done a great job on primary, but I don't think I've done a good job on role. You know, because I'm so afraid of legalism. I don't want to say, go do all this stuff. I want you to do it out of who you are. But out of who you are, you learn your identity by stepping out in the role, right? Jesus discipled that way. We need to understand that he's going to disciple us the same way. So, you know, one of my challenges is especially during this, throughout this series, but just use this as a time to say, I am going to start stepping out in that role. I'm going to start letting, see if God, you know, what he'll do. I'm going to start living that way. I'm going to start trusting that his way is right. I'm going to quit being that person who says, yeah, but. And I'm going to say, no, that's what God said is true. And I can say, I agree with that. Just like all the crowd did. Right? And then that final verse is what we'll experience is that, you know, that as we try to love people with our heart with our hearts and love them as ourselves, we find ourselves needing to understand, God, I need to have the ability to do these things in these roles. But what we'll find is we'll find the result coming out of our life. And that will affirm, oh, that's who I am, right? That's the wise wisdom that we see in stepping out in it. So if the worship team would come up, I want us to be just thinking throughout this service about this place of how amazing this is that we've been given this invitation. I mean, it's crazy. To this day, I think, whoa, this is amazing. I mean, I can say this. I can't believe that I get to be this. I can't believe that God could come through me, that I could be this, I could have significance in situations. I just can't hardly believe it can be possible. I'm such a goofball, and God still uses me uniquely in the way I'm made, right? And he wants to do the same for you. So as we're worshiping, let's just be grateful for that. And as we go through this time, and even in prayer ministry, if you're in a spot that maybe you've never really understood that God has a plan for your life, it can start today. And if you know, I know God has a plan for your life, but maybe you're kind of like one of those kids who have been like, you're just not engaging. You're not yielding yourself to his plan because you're not sure if that's what you want. But you say, I want to be the people who say, yes, I agree that your plan is good, and I just want today to commit my life to it. So would you stand?